Everyone, welcome back to the Monday Night Pod. Tyler and Fenske. This week we're talking on Psalm 64. Verse 1 says, "Hear me, O God, as I voice my complaint. Protect my life from the threat of the enemy."
Yeah, one of the things that, or the main focus of our teaching tonight was just based on the concept of opposition. And I think that, and again, we're making, you know, having broad strokes here, but I think a lot of people in our society, in our, you know, Instagram, put your best front forward society, we look at, you know, other people's circumstances or just fantasize about situations all day long. You know, if only I was in this position or with that team or had this coach or had this job or this business or this boss, you know, this partner, you name it, all the above. We think the grass is always greener and we think, oh, if only we could have this circumstance or situation or title, everything would be perfect. You know, and it's an easy trap to get into. But the reality is that no matter what level of success you have in life, there's going to be stress attached with it. You know, there's going to be conflict. There's going to be struggles, problems. There's going to be problems associated with that. And, you know, that's not a positive thing or a negative thing. It's not a good thing or a bad thing. It just is what it is. It's a fixed cost, you know. And first point I wanted to make tonight is, anytime there's anointing or opportunity, anytime God has chosen you for something or called you to something, more often than not, there's opposition attached with it, right? And it's important to have a mature perspective about that, because to a simple person or a naive person, you're confronted with opposition and you have a tendency to like shrink or pause or, you know, want to track back, not to ruffle any feathers. You know, I don't know if anyone was raised like me. Growing up, I was always in fear of getting in trouble. So it's like anytime you face opposition, you know, people are coming against you or saying you're doing something wrong, it's easy for me, at least me, to have a natural response of like, ooh, I better stop. Am I in trouble? And the first point tonight is, usually opposition is confirmation that you're exactly where you're supposed to be and you're doing exactly what you're supposed to do. We see David here in verse 1. And again, this is a man that's been anointed by God, meaning being chosen by God to be the leader of Israel. And later he's appointed to be the king, right? In verse 1, he's saying, protect my life from the threat of the enemy, right? So he has enemies, he has threats. And I think it's important to understand it, as you walk into that opportunity, like the one he had, there's going to be threats, enemies, oppositions, challenges associated with that.
Yeah, you know, you bring up the, as you said, it's the stress associated is not a good thing or a, you know, necessarily a bad thing. I think to a degree that is something that just makes the day-to-day much more engaging and allows us to put our talents and abilities on display is the problems and challenges set in front of us, right? And people tend to, if you look at that from just a psychology perspective, people tend to get very bored and, you know, unhappy when there aren't challenges or problems to solve in front of them, when they're not being given the opportunity to be helpful to others, right? So I think there is some just in general there is some good value built in of the problems that we encounter and the things that can be difficult, the things we need to set our minds to, sometimes the things that even kind of, you know, keep you up at night, right? Looking back on them,
yeah,
you know, right? Like in the moment it's often not pleasant, but looking back it was like, you know, the things that you learn from these experiences of the difficulties, there's real blessing attached to that, in my opinion. You know, you talk about David, hear me, O God, as I voice my complaint, protect my life from the threat of the enemy. You said tonight, one of the things you said tonight was your success at any level, right, is an opportunity for people to hate you. And the more people that love you, the more people that
hate you. Yeah.
You know, I think what I said tonight at the end, at least from my personal experience, is that opposition doesn't cause most people to quit necessarily, but it will cause them to shrink.
Yeah.
Like you were saying before. It will cause them to kind of step back because they're often so worried about what people are going to say or they are saying. Mm. And here's this comment on Instagram, and you can look at any post at this point.
Yeah.
Any post. And there's people that like it, and then there's people that are upset. Mm-hmm. And honestly, that's, you know, what causes a post to often make it to that point, right? Is, yeah, because the algorithm favors the arguing, because that's what makes people keep coming back to the app, which now the more time you're on the app, the more, you know, data and information they can harvest and then sell to the advertiser, and that's how they make their money, right? Yeah. So they thrive on the arguing. But the point being is that no matter what, somebody's going to be upset. Mm-hmm. As Aristotle said, the only way to avoid criticism, say nothing, be nothing, do nothing, right? So there's always going to be people that are going to be upset on a certain level, and that is important that you're not shrinking back, because at least in my experience, that's what I've seen people do, is that their God-given talents and abilities, they shrink back from them. They miss that intersection of work meeting destiny. They shrink back from that moment. They don't seize that moment because they're so worried about what people are going to think or what people are saying, or it's the crabs in the bucket. Mm-hmm. Where anytime somebody is leveling up or becoming more than that what they were, there's always going to be people dragging them down. But they're so worried about making these people happy, people that you're not going to even remember in 5 or 10 years. Mm-hmm. And that causes them to shrink.
Yeah.
You know, so I think anytime you talk about the topic of opposition, and that comes, as you said tonight, both in the natural and in the spiritual.
For sure.
Right?
Yeah, we understand that we do have, you know, beyond the physical, beyond, you know, the senses of seeing what we see and hearing what we hear and tasting what we taste and feeling what we touch, you know, beyond the physical realm, there's definitely opposition. But beyond that, there's the spiritual realm, which in reality, in the grand scheme of things, is more real than the physical realm we're experiencing, right? A lot of us just kind of don't open our eyes to it, you know, but we do have the devil, Satan, who hates us, and he is organized. Matthew 12 tells us, Jesus said, you know, Satan's army is not divided. Satan is not divided. You know, him and his demons, they're very organized and they have a plan. And the number one thing he could ever do is make you think that he's dumb or stupid or doesn't exist, right? And he'll do anything he can to make you shrink or not step foot into whatever arena God has called you to, right? There is an arena for you. Are you walking in it? Are you participating in that arena? He'll do whatever it takes to throw you off your game or to make you shrink away and not enter it, because he hates you and because he hates the Lord. Because ultimately, if you are in the arena, if you are walking faithfully to what God's called you to, there, God's going to be glorified through that, right? Mm-hmm. And Satan is full force against that. And so if you're having opposition in the spiritual, one, you could expect that in the higher the calling, you know, the higher, if you will, the anointing, oftentimes that means the more Satan will come after you and he won't pull any punches. So it, not something to fear necessarily, because we have the victory through Jesus, but something to be aware of and be on guard against for sure.
Yeah. And what you're referencing there, always a good verse to remember is Ephesians 6.
Yeah.
Tells you, right, our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the powers of this dark world, and against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly realm. So there's what you're seeing in the natural, mm-hmm. is just a reflection of what's going on in the spiritual realm.
Mm-hmm.
Right? And, you know, you're just speaking to, you know, people's words. I mean, it's, you know, you read this section of you know, of scripture with what David's talking about, right? And you're saying, you know, the threat on his life, Right, they say in verse 4, they shoot from ambush at the innocent man. They shoot at him suddenly without fear. And you brought that up tonight as well from Luke 4 when Jesus reads the passage from Isaiah and says this scripture is fulfilled in your hearing. But then they're getting the, you know, isn't this Joseph's son? Right? And I believe in another gospel says that they took offense at him, right? And it ends up with them driving him out of the town and taking him to the brow of the cliff that the town is built on in order to throw him off and kill him. You know, so real physical violence and opposition, as David is describing here. You know, but whether it's you know, whether it's words or it's physical. Okay, in terms of, you know, talking tonight about that opposition, just understanding that that is coming from the spiritual realm, right? You're just seeing it reflected in the natural. And when it comes to words, people hear from Satan very, very well. They hear from their own, we all hear from our own selfish sin nature very well, right? That complaining voice, that selfish voice, that me first voice, you know, that's you, right? But then you also get that, you know, cursing voice from Satan. That, you know, often just, you know, straight from the evil one, where it's, you know, just the exact nasty, mean thing to say. And the anonymity of the internet, of course, has really elevated that. Because it is one thing to curse somebody or say something to their face in person versus here's just the keyboard, right? So that's really elevated. And in a digital age, you know, I mean, it, you know, our demographic mostly at Bible study is, you know, young adult. They live on their phones. That is their world, is the phone, right? At this point, real life is a distraction and often an annoyance for them compared to what they're spending and doing on their phone, which is where they prefer to be. They're having a better relationship with their phone than they are with real human beings. They have a very hard time communicating and carrying on socially with other human beings. But the phone, you know, they're in the phone. Well, in that phone, they're being confronted with a lot of verbal opposition, where people are just out there like just spouting off. You know,
it's fun not to cut you off. It just makes me think of that verse in Psalm 64 here, where it says that they're acting without fear. You know,
right.
I don't want to paraphrase it, but it literally says that, you know, they're doing these things without fear. And that just reminds me of society where it's at today, you know, living on the internet. Because when you're a keyboard warrior, you have no fear of the repercussions.
They sharpen their tongues like swords and aim their words like deadly arrows.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
You know, and it doesn't, you know, I reference like, okay, here's a video of you know, a kid in here who at this time is a no name. And here's a video of him having, you know, a good moment, good success moment. And here's strangers on the internet, like something nasty to say about that.
We'll find
you. Oh, yeah. Yeah. You know, you're not even going to be happy for here's this, you know, 18-year-old kid having a breakthrough. They're going to be angry about it.
Yeah.
Right. So it's like there's a lot of it going on, a lot of it going on verbally. And then the point that I made, you know, made tonight, which I think is really important takeaway, is that it reminds me a lot of what's said in Acts, right? So they're teaching and they get called in, and it says they called the disciples in again and commanded them not to speak or teach at all in the name of Jesus. This is Acts 4. Right, verse 19, but Peter and John replied, "Judge for yourselves whether it is right in God's sight to obey you rather than God, for we cannot help speaking about what we have seen and heard." And I think it's, you know, there's two things to this, right? So if it's like, okay, here's me and I, you know, have this good day, you know, playing baseball and here's people just hating on it. Okay, whatever, right? But because there's no reward for that, mm-hmm. right? What Jesus tells you in Matthew 5, right, is it says, blessed are those who are persecuted because of righteousness.
Yes.
For theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are you when people insult you, persecute you, and falsely say all kinds of evil against you because of me. Rejoice and be glad, because great is your reward in heaven. For in the same way they persecuted the prophets who were before you. So it's like, okay, here's me playing baseball, and you know, this is posted by, you know, some other account, and then here's people like trying to hate on it. Okay.
It's fickle.
Yeah, whatever.
Yeah.
You know, you got to learn to toughen up about that and not care, because everybody's always going to have an opinion. There's many people out there that are putting out mean things, hoping to get a response, because on a certain level, they're very lonely, right? If you really want to break it down, they're lonely and they're looking for attention, right? You know, they're getting a sort of high off of, you know, irritating you and getting a response, right? But when it comes to something that actually involving the kingdom of God, now that's where you need to really stand your ground, and you're not going to back down at all.
Yeah.
And whether that's physical, mm-hmm. like Psalm 64 and what, you know, Luke 4 with Jesus,
mm-hmm.
okay, or it's verbal, because yours is the kingdom of heaven.
Mm.
Right? And blessed are you when people insult you, persecute you, and falsely say all kinds of evil against you because of me. The progression as a Christian is that if you are walking in the faith, then that's going to organically come about.
For sure.
And so if none of that is coming about, then there's probably some cause for examination there.
Mm.
Because it should come about because you think so differently and you act so differently than everything else is going on culturally, that naturally that would incur some persecution.
Yeah.
Of you just doing the right thing is going to make some people mad.
Mm-hmm.
And we're already in a very angry, very angry society. It's not going to take much. It's not going to take much nowadays.
Yeah.
Right? Everybody's very angry, very out of patience. And the, you know, the love of most has grown cold.
Yeah.
So it's not going to take much, but that would be something that would be coming about organically if you're a believer, and that's where you really need to learn to stand and not back down from, you know, what God has called you to do, right? To learn to acknowledge me before men,
yeah.
right? As the Lord says in Matthew 10, right? Whoever acknowledges me before men, I will also acknowledge him before my Father in heaven. But whoever disowns me before men, I will disown him before my Father in heaven.
Yeah. And just to add to that perspective, to have the same perspective as Jesus on this, I'm reminded of Matthew 22. And this is where the Pharisees are trying to trick Jesus. But they say things about Jesus that kind of give us perspective here, where verse 16, it says, they sent their disciples to him along with the Herodians. Teacher, they said, we know that you are a man of integrity and that you teach the way of God in accordance with the truth. You aren't swayed by men because you pay no attention to who they are. And so they're trying to trick him here later, asking him a question about where do you give taxes, Caesar or who, where do you put your money? But they're saying true things about Jesus to set him up. And you talk about, you know, what perspective are you going to have that this really helps? Are you going to focus on what God says about you? Or are you going to focus on what men say about you? Are you going to be completely devoted and dedicated to the Lord? Or are you going to be swayed by men? You know? And so I think that an answer to, you know, being able to stand against the opposition, you know, wherever it may come, it's important to understand that people are people. Their opinions change. They might praise you one day. They might curse you the next day. But Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forevermore, and he loves you, right? And it's much better to set your mind on that and live according to that rather than feel like you have to please men. It's much better to please God. And if you're aiming to please the Lord, all these other things, in my opinion, take care of themselves.
Yeah, if you're a believer, which, like, you know, like I was talking on tonight with, it's – you know, so much of it is comes down to who do you fear?
Exactly.
Do you fear God or do you fear men? If you fear men, then you are going to shrink back. You are going to try to do everything you can to make everybody happy. You are going to be a people pleaser and probably miss what God is calling you to do because you're so fixated on trying to make men happy versus do you fear God, right? Because if you fear God, then, yeah, it doesn't matter what men are going to say. You have a single-mindedness of purpose that you're going to carry out what God has called you to do no matter what. Mm-hmm. You're not going to shrink back, right?
Yeah.
You know, Isaiah 51 tells you, look, lift up your eyes to the heavens, look at the earth beneath. The heavens will vanish like smoke. The earth will wear out like a garment, and its inhabitants will die like flies. But my salvation will last forever. My righteousness will never fail. So everything that's around you, the heavens will vanish like smoke. The earth will wear out like a garment, and its inhabitants die like flies. Mm. So this is all passing away.
Mm-hmm.
But my salvation will last forever. My righteousness will never fail. Hear me, you who know what is right, you people who have my law in your hearts. Do not fear the reproach of men or be terrified by their insults, for the moth will eat them up like a garment. The worm will devour them like wool, but my righteousness will last forever, my salvation through all generations. That's what you're betting on, is God's salvation through all generations, not fearing the reproach of men or being terrified by their insults.
Mm-hmm.
And like you made such a good point. If you grew up in that environment where you were taught that, you know, you've done something wrong, you know, you get in trouble at school and it's you get in trouble at home tenfold over and you must have done something terrible.
Yeah.
So you develop this, you take into adulthood this almost fear and phobia of being in trouble or doing something wrong.
Mm-hmm.
So now, and even if you're not doing something wrong, mm-hmm. you feel that same feeling when somebody, yes, you know, when you're being, you know, getting the reproach of men or being terrified by their insults, did I do something wrong? Oh my goodness, this person doesn't like me. And you feel like you've done wrong, you're gonna get called in the principal's office again.
Mm-hmm.
And you have to make that, you have to leave that aside, that childish way behind, become a man,
mm-hmm.
and realize you don't answer to anybody but God. You don't answer to anybody but God. You might come under the authority of other people, but that's because God has set it in place.
Yep.
You might follow the laws of the nation as long as that's in alignment with God's word, knowing that God has set those authorities in place, right? Romans 13, right? But you only answer to God,
mm-hmm.
right? So there has to be that just toughening, and your skin has to get thicker, and you're not so worried about what other people are saying. You're not always putting your finger in the air like, oh, who's going to be offended by this?
Mm.
Like, oh, I don't know if I should be. And the extreme of that is sometimes people get like super political, right? So it's like, oh, well, you know, they'll take like these stands politically. So they're always chirping about like something politics related, and they're taking stands on politics. They don't care if they upset people in terms of politics,
mm.
but stuff that actually matters, the faith, they don't.
Yeah.
And they're always backing down from that or worried if that's going to like offend somebody, right? And you're not going out of your way to offend somebody.
No.
Of course not, right? But you're not backing down from what the Word of God says and what God has called you to do,
sure.
right?
Yeah.
So, and obviously that nuance is, you know, listen to the Holy Spirit,
mm-hmm.
right? Listen to the Holy Spirit. You're not supposed to be on message boards provoking people. I don't think that's from the Spirit at all.
No.
Right? But you're also not backing down from what the word says or what God has called you to do and not shrinking back. Because like I said, in my life experience, not so much that people quit. Mm-hmm. It's just they shrink.
Mm-hmm.
They get small,
yeah.
right? They see that giant and they get small. They're like, oh, we could never take the land, right? We saw the Anakites there, right? The descendants of the Nephilim are there. We can never do this. And they shrink back, mm-hmm. right? Instead of stepping forward into that intersection of work and destiny, what God has called them to do, that moment in life when it strikes and it's like, there it is. There's your purpose. Walk in it. Mm-hmm. They shrink back.
And then you can experience God behind you.
Yeah.
So that's the episode for the week. Psalm 64, the topic of opposition. Hope everybody's blessed. This is the Monday Night Pod. Tyler and Fenske.